Blog Talk Radio. Eso.
Gracias.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing compares to him. The name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for a blessed day, O God, a day that we have never seen and a day that we will never see again. Lord, we just honor you this morning with all that's within us, our mind, body, and soul. We honor you this morning. And we ask you, O God, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, we submit our way and our will unto you in the precious name of Jesus. Holy Father, forgive us of all trespasses. Forgive us of everything that we have been said or done or watched. Anything that didn't bring glory to your name, we ask you, God, to forgive us this morning. Lord, we repent of our sins. The word of God declared that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we ask you, O God, today to have mercy on us. Father, help us to speak this word that you have given us this morning. Not a jumping word, but the Lord decided this morning that he would change the message. When I woke up this morning, the first thing I heard in my spirit was, the Lord is my everything. And I just look for some scriptures that line up to that. And Father, we just ask that you bless the word. The word is already blessed, but we ask you to bless it again. Help me to see it, help me to hear it, and help me to speak it, O God. Allow me to surrender that you might increase. Let me to decrease that you might increase, O God. We ask, O God, that you use my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clay to bring glory to your name, to edify your body, and to terrify the devil. Bless all those that are coming on the line right now and those that are listening near and far. We know that there's many that are listening in Africa and in India and even in the Caribbean. We know that people are listening in Canada. And we thank you, Father. We thank you this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, we're going to be talking about the Lord is our everything. And you know, when you get to that place in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and you see him as your everything, you begin to operate on a different level. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. You know, because somebody might be saying, well, he said the Lord is everything, he's perfect. No, he's not perfect. I'm not perfect, and you're not either. So I want you to know that. None of us are perfect. We are striving for perfection. And God is perfecting us each day. He's making us a little better than the day before. So we are trying our best to walk according to his instructions, his leading. Okay? So we thank God for you all today. Now, I want to get into this word here. This was cleaning some marks that I see on my computer screen. Getting this stuff off of there. The computer picks up all the grease and stuff that's on your fingers, all the oil that comes out of your pores in to make the screen look bad. I have some special spray that I clean them with. But we thank you. We'll be going away next month for a couple of days. I think about 3 days. Head on over to North Carolina for 3 days. We got some things to do there. Here, let's go into the Word. Let's go into the Word. Let's go into Psalm 25. I just got these this morning as I was hear the Lord drop that into my spirit this morning. You know, because there's so much things when you make a decision to walk for the Lord, so much things try to distract you. And even the things that you hope to gain in this world, they come as distractions. Sometimes you say, well, I want to get a new car. I want to get a bigger house, a nicer house. I want to live in a different neighborhood or so on. And then all the things that are going on in the world, they tend to take your focus. And also, you have to come back to basics. And here in this book, David is talking to the Lord. He's having a conversation with the Lord. And this was so beautiful. I don't think I ever ministered this psalm before. And it's Psalm 25. We're going to hit a couple of psalms. I have, four psalms that I want to do and a couple of scriptures from Philippians chapter 4 and Exodus chapter 15. I don't know if I'm getting to them because these psalms, they have a lot to work in. I might have to do another part to do this, to complete this. But here in this Psalm 25, David is having a conversation with the Lord. So see, prayer is having conversation with the Lord. That's all it is. You're having a spiritual conversation with your Savior, with your Redeemer, with your soon coming King. So David begins to speak to him, and he says, to you, Yahweh, this is in the Logos Bible, to you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust you. Let me not be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. In other words, here David is saying here to the Lord, don't let my enemies laugh at me. Don't let them make fun. He says, unto thee, O Lord, King James Version, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. David began to speak to the Lord. A lot of times we are going through so much, and we all going to go through. As long as you live in this body, in this earthly body, in this cleared house, you're going to go through. You're going to face some things in the spirit realm. You're going to face some things in the natural realm. So just be prepared. Don't say, well, I wonder why I'm going through this, why this is happening. No, they don't happen because you have made a decision to serve the Lord. You've made a decision that you're going to give the Lord your all in all. And for that very reason, the enemy is going to come after you. You remember when we were working for the enemy, when we were out there, we were doing all the things that we think we were bigger than we were. We were working for the enemy. We was on his payroll, and his payment was more worries, more trouble, you know, more disasters. That was his payment. He wasn't giving us no joy, no happiness. Hallelujah. And he was keeping us distracted so that we wouldn't come to know the Savior, the one who gives you joy unspeakable, full of glory. He was keeping us distracted. So here David is talking to the Lord. And he says, indeed, verse 3, none who wait for you should be put to shame. Those who betray without cause, should be put to shame. Make me know your ways, O Yahweh. David says, make me know your ways. In the Amplified Bible, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Verse 5 says, in the Amplified, he says, guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you only, altogether, do I wait expectantly all the day long. David says, the Lord is my all in all. When you get to that place that you realize that he is your all in all, you begin to operate different. You begin to move a different way. You begin to have a different type of trust. You know, you're not worried when you're trusting in him. You're not worried when you're depending on him, when you're relying on him, because you know he cannot fail. He cannot feel. He may take a little time, but he cannot feel because he don't move on your time or my time. You know, we want it right now. This is why we get in trouble all the time. We can't wait on the Lord. Most of us can't wait. We say, I've been waiting for too long. I don't know what's happening. Do you remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to have a conversation, to check out the Lord, to talk to the Lord concerning the people of Israel? He was up on Mount Sinai. He was having a conversation with the Lord. The Lord was talking to him from in the burning bush. The Lord was talking to him from in the clouds. And what happened, the people down on the ground, on the plain, they begin to get angsty. Where is this Moses? Who he think he is that he going to leave us down here and he can go up on a mountain and say he's talking to God? He's taking too long for us. We need a God that we can see. This is the way we operate. But today the Lord says to me, I woke up this morning. There's the first thing I laying on the bed and I start to pray. And the Lord says, I am your everything. That's what he said to me. He said, I am your everything. I heard it in my spirit so clear. I mean clear, 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 clear. I wasn't even thinking about it. And he said to me, he said, I am your everything. I said, okay, Lord, this is what I want you to do. This is what they want you to talk about. That's what he wants. So I just look into the Psalms and I'm going to break it down as he showed me, you know, because I'm not using any notes. I'm not even pulling notes from the Logos. He says, in the Amplified, now verse 6, he says, remember, O Lord, Psalm 25, your tender mercy and loving kindness, for they have been ever from of old. In other words, as long as I can remember, you were extending love and tender mercy. So I trust you. I depend on you. I remember when I was not able to take care of myself, when my family wasn't able to take care of me. They didn't have anything to help me, but you were there. See, you got to go back and look at these things. When you see these things, though, you can see God has been my helper all along. He has been the one that was taking care of us. Hallelujah, when we were in those dark places. So he has got to be my everything. You know, when all is said and done, only one that we can really, really, truly trust, that we can really depend on. When all the attacks and all the name-calling and all the soothsaying, you can trust on God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. David said in the Logos Bible, verses 7. He said, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgression. According to your loyal love, remember me, if you will. For the sake of your goodness, O Yahweh, good and righteous is Yahweh. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. See, God is so faithful. He is so merciful. He is so long-suffering. He is so forgiving. Hallelujah. That even in the midst of our sin, God still reached down and he leads us out of darkness into light. Sin represents darkness. Darkness represents sin. So he leads us out of that dark place into the place where we can see spiritually, where we have a clear understanding that he is the God. He's the one who died on Calvary. He's the one who shed his blood. He's the one, my God, who protected us when the enemy was coming at us from all four sides, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we didn't even know. We couldn't see because he was coming in the spiritual realm, and we couldn't see. But God saw even before the enemy moved. That's why this morning I could say without any equivocations that the Lord, is my everything. What is he to you? I'm not begging him for anything. He's my everything. Because when I don't even open my mouth to ask him for something, he's already provided. Because he knows me. He knows us before we even ask a word. Before a song comes out of our mouth, comes off of our tongue, a word comes off of our tongue, God already knows what we need. He said so because he said, look, the sparrows don't cry out. The lilies don't spin or toil. The grass don't toil. But he take care of all them things. But he said that we are more to him than grass or lilies or the sparrow. So how much more would he give to us? God knows before we even open our mouth. That's why you can trust him. You can say without a shadow of doubt, he is my everything. Yes, I'm going through. You're going through. We're going through. And we're going to go through as long as we're in this earth realm. As long as we're in this earthly temple, we're going to go through. Why? Because in this flesh there's no good thing. And temptation going to come to your flesh. Going to cause you to go through because you're going to do things. We're going to do things and act in ways that does not please God. And they're going to cause us. See, when we are deceived by our own lust and our enticement, you know, we're drawn away from God. We fall into temptations, and we fall into doing things that are not like God. So then you can't say he's not your everything. He's your everything, but we walk away from him to do what pleases us. Here he says, verse 9, he causes the humble to walk in justice and teaches the humble his way. Now, if you humble yourself, the Bible says he would exalt you in due time. If you are humble, if you are honestly following God's way, trusting God, God will show you, God will lead you in the path of righteousness. The Bible says he leads the humble in what is right, and the humble, he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord, mercy and steadfast love, even truth and faithfulness are there for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. See, this is all God wants from us, for us to be obedient. That's all he wants from us, to follow his instructions. That was his cry from beginning. If you would love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and obey my statutes and my laws and my commandments, he said it will be well with you. It will be well. In other words, you're going to have your desire. You know, if you have a husband, to those ladies out there in computer land, or to men, if you have a wife or a woman, and you be nice to them, you treat them right, they don't hold back anything from you. You say, well, baby, let's get together now. Have love tonight. Let's make love tonight. Well, you've been nice to her all week. You've been treating him right all week. He going to give you your desire. But if you're not right, she says, I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I just don't feel it. I'm not in the mood. You understand? Because you were nice to her. You didn't treat him right. He don't want to take you to the mall and buy you the nice dress, buy you the wig you were looking at, get your fingernails done, your toes done. No, he don't want to do that. Why? Because you haven't been nice. You haven't been treating him right. You talk to him like he's a dog, like he's not even your husband. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes we find ourselves treating God just like that. You know how you do. Well, I don't want to pray. I don't want to fast. I don't have no time to study my Bible. I don't have no time for that. I got to do this. I got to do that. But David said, because David is talking to the Lord. He's having this conversation. David is going through, but he's trusting God. He mentioned enemies coming and want to embarrass him and all this stuff. And tell the Lord, don't let him be put to shame. Don't let his enemies triumph over him. So he's trusting God as his helper. He's trusting God as his deliverer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here he says in verse 11, he says, for your sakes, O Lord, pardon my iniquity and my guilt, for they are great. Now see how David acknowledged his sin before the Lord. A lot of times we are going in and we're acting. I've seen a lot of leaders. Oh, they don't even bow down at the altar. They don't even bow at the altar because they feel they got it together, you know. And I always say, bow down, Pastor, Bishop, bow down. Brother Deacon, Brother Elder, Minister, Evangelist, Pastor, Teacher, apostle, prophet, prophetess, bow down at the altar. You the leader. As the people see you bowing down, they'll bow down. Different to the people when they see Moses going up to the mountain to talk to God, and Moses up there too long, they want something that they can see. They want a God they can see. Moses go up there talking to God on their behalf, but they can't wait because they have that microwave mindset. Just like us, we can't go in and fast for 21 days. We can't fast for 7 days. We can't fast for 40 days. I was just talking to a pastor. He's fasting for 3 days or 2 days. And he said he couldn't hold out. For 2 days or 3 days. He said he couldn't make it. 3 days. It's nothing to fast 3 days. I fast every weekend, not boasting. Every weekend, Friday and Saturday, I fast. And sometimes I go and I fast for 7 days. I fast for 21 days. I fast for 40 days. You know, it's not a piece of cake. But when you trust in God, when you trust in God and depend in God, God going to help you. Remember one, he said, look, just get into the word. Meditate on my word day and night. Turn on the CD player. Well, we should have the record player. So I got to buy a new record player because I got all these records. I got cases of records inside my garage, inside the closet. I got a closet in the garage. Yeah, a big closet, walk-in closet, but it got so many. I got tools and stuff inside, and got cases of records in there. But I say, well, getting a record player, turntable. But because you know, Bible's right on the stuff. You got to go a special place to even find records now, because everything is CD and DVD. But turn on the CD player or the DVD player, and you have the worship music there, where you have the artist singing there on the screen, or you can just listen to just the music. Worship the Lord and have your Bible in your hand. Where you were studying and hearing the worship, you don't thinking about no food. You're not thinking about the cheesecake. You're not thinking about no ice cream or no chicken nuggets or anything like that. You're just in the Word of God. And he would take away that craving to want to eat and break your fast. But let's go back into the Word. We're talking about God is our everything. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, who is the man who reverently fears and worship the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. If you really spend that time with God, God will teach you. It's what David is saying. Here in the book of King James Version, he says, glory to God, Psalm 25. His soul shall dwell ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. If you trust in the Lord, you reverently fear him, your seed is going to prosper. Hallelujah. It's going to go from generation to generation. I was telling the pastor the other, I said, I'm so amazed at how God is changing my son. Because I remember when he was in trouble and they caught him with marijuana two or three times, and he was a three-time loser. Just a little bit of marijuana. He didn't have a big bag of marijuana, like pounds of marijuana. But the racist judge wanted to make him an example out of him. You know, he's a black man going before a Caucasian judge. And you know, they always want to keep it, because when you put them black young strong men inside in the prison cell or the penitentiary or whatever they call it, they can build license plates. They can build them signs that go over the highways. They make all that stuff inside prison. You know what I'm saying? They get free labor, and these folks make a lot of money off of that stuff, because all that stuff is franchised. You understand? Just like in the kitchen, in the prison, in the jails, all that food and stuff is franchised from outside people, and they're making money off that stuff. So we prayed, and I had the people on Blog Talk really praying, and people all overseas in different countries praying for my son. And he was in there for, I think it was two years and some months. And the Lord had given us a revelation that that's all the time he would spend. And guess what happened? That was all he spent. He didn't spend 22 years. But because why? Because we are faithful. We're not perfect, but we are faithful. We are working for the Lord, and we are faithful. And because we are faithful, God blesses our seed. This is what David said there. We are talking about the Lord is my helper. you can say, we can say the Lord is our helper. But this is what he told me this morning. He dropped in my spirit. He is my helper. I can depend on him. I can trust him. Moses says the Lord is the Lord that healeth us. He heals us, so he's my healer. Glory to God. I dropped some words in my spirit this morning, and these are some of the words that he gave me this morning. Let me drop them before I go back into Psalm 25. He says, he's my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Supplier, and my Healer. Hallelujah. Those are just some of the words that he dropped, and there's much more what he is to me and to you. When you look and you examine your own heart, you can say, well, the Lord is this, is that, is do all this stuff you can see, because he is more than just what I put on there this morning. But I know that he's my Savior. I know that he's my Lord. I know that he's my Redeemer. I know he's my Supplier. Everything that I need, according to his will, he supplies for me. I don't have to go anywhere and looking for it. Hallelujah. Sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, I need a little job so I can make some money, so I can help some people and help myself and help my family. And before I can get the word out of my mouth, good, somebody be ringing my phone, because that's the kind of God that he is. I'm not asking for a lot of strange things. It has to line up with his will, because God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed according to his will so that we can be helpers to somebody. Don't you know that? He wants you to bless. He wants to bless you so you can help somebody. Here, let's go back in here. Glory to God, glory to God. Psalm 25. And he says, let's look at verse 14. The secret of the sweet, satisfying, and compassionate companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. He says, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. David said, look, I'm constantly looking, focusing on the Lord. My thoughts are on him. My eyes are on him. So when my enemy set traps for me to see me fall, the Lord plucks me out. He do not allow me to fall into the net that the enemy set for me, the traps he set for me. He said, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. This is David crying out. David crying out to the Lord. In this psalm here, David speaks clearly. He's not biting his tongue. He's taking it before. He said, Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me, compassionate, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are multiplied. Bring me out of my distress. When you're going through, don't look for the police department. Don't look for the fire department. Don't look to your husband or your wife. Yes, they're your companion, but look to God first. Look to him first. Ask him. He said, this is David Crow. He said, behold my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins of thinking and doing. He said, consider my enemies, for they abound. They hit me with cruel hatred. Oh, my God. He said, oh, keep me, Lord, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed and disappointed, for my trust and my refuge are in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait and expect you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. David didn't only cry out for himself, but he cried out for his fellow workers. A lot of time we are too focused on just ourselves. But you got to pray for the people around you too. People that are working in the kingdom, and even those that are outside the kingdom. David in this psalm here, Psalm 25, which is probably an individual lament, a psalm, is a mostly complete acrostic poem. A poem where the lines start with consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalmist emphasized his desire for God's guidance and deliverance. He asserts his trust in God, then petitioned God for guidance and forgiveness. After describing God's goodness and faithfulness, the psalmist again seeks forgiveness. He describes the benefits of fearing God and seek his deliverance and protection. The psalmist concludes by asking God to redeem all of Israel. We go to everybody else, and God's the last one we want to go to. Let us go over to Psalm 26. And listen to David, because a lot of times we are just focusing on all the stuff that we want God to give to us, but we don't come to God with repentance. We don't come to God and lay our sin before God. We come to God like we are perfect, like we got it all together. I watch a lot of leaders like that. Oh, they walk. I had one bishop, man, walk and push his chest up right here in Boston. When he talked about at a preacher like that, everybody else is going down to hell, and he's the only one going to go to heaven. I always tell him when I'm preaching that I'm not perfect. I don't profess to be perfect, but I say, look, I tell you one thing, that God is perfecting me. Because he know where I'm wrong. He know where I'm wrong. He know where I don't cross the T's, every T, and he know where I don't dot every I. God sees all. He knows all. You can't hide. I told the pastor last Sunday, I said, I'll tell you all, pastor. I said, look, God sees every T that we don't cross, and he sees every I that we miss the dot. I said, none of us here today is perfect. And there's many of us right here. None of us are perfect. We're working towards perfection, and we can't make it happen. He makes it happen. He's the one that perfects us. We can't perfect ourselves. If you're the best carpenter, you're still going to make some wrong cuts. You're the best plumber, you're still going to tread the pipe wrong. You're going to cross tread the pipe from time to time. I bought a machine there from eBay last year. I was doing a big job, and I bought this treadmill machine. And I had this guy working me. He's another licensed plumber. And when we get big jobs, we are working together. You know, like putting in a lot of boilers. And I was doing three boilers. And I had a brand new machine. Has cut in oil and all that stuff. You got to put the cutting oil on the pipe so that the machine don't get overheated and burn. Well, he started doing the stuff. And the next thing I know, on the 1-inch dies, he has stripped the dies. So when I go to tread the pipe, the dies are running all over the place and just eating up the pipe. So the tread was no good. So I didn't show that to him, and I asked him, brother, it's just a mistake on the thing. So I just got to get a new dies on it. And for that, we were making mistakes, and it took us longer to do what we had to do. We all make mistakes. Don't care how much degrees you have. You can have PhD, MA, BA. You're going to make mistakes. You can have a doctorate degree in theology. You're going to call those scriptures wrong. And I watched a preacher a couple of weeks ago was preaching and teaching, and he was calling the wrong chapters and wrong verse. You know? He was saying the stuff, but the chapter and verse didn't line up. The word was good, but the chapter and verse didn't line up. And we do that because we are flowing so hard and we are moving so fast that we are not allowing God to really guide our town. So we just flow, and we call up his name, the chapter and the verse, but what we are saying is not what the verse, what the chapter or verse we call out. We all make mistakes. David said in Psalm 26, he said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trust also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. See, now David is trusting in God. He's not trusting in his own strength. He's not trusting in his own intellect, his own wisdom. He is trusting in God. He said, look, I'm walking in the integrity. What integrity is he walking in? The integrity of the Lord, what God has given him, what God has shown him, how God has directed him to walk. It's like following the blueprint. Remember, I talked about that the other day. Because I remember in the car and going places and had the GPS years ago. And wouldn't even put it in the GPS. I don't know if I was a navigator. We had a Lincoln navigator at that time. Man, I was lost for a long time. And now she said, well, why don't you put it in GPS? You are so hard-headed. She said, dude, you are so hard-headed. Why don't you put it in the GPS? Well, when I finally stopped and put the address in the GPS, I was able to get to the place in a short time, to the exact location I want to go. And we do that from time to time. We don't want to follow the instructions that God has given us. We know that he's our Lord, that he's our Savior, that he's our Redeemer. Oh, God, that he's the one who redeemed our soul from hell. We know that he's our healer. He's a provider. We know everything that he is to us. But from time to time, it becomes difficult for us to trust him and depend on him. We try to do it. Not so much that we don't trust him, but we try to do it on our own. We try to do it, and when we come and charge the Lord, why do you let that happen to me? We have the audacity to ask God, why do you let it happen to me? And he's such a loving God that he didn't whip us the way we need to whip to say, you're the one who did it on your own. You didn't call on me. Your earthly father would tell you. You went on and did it on your own. You didn't even seek me for my help. But God is so faithful and so sweet. He'll come back and show you where you went from. He'll lead you. But David began to talk. He said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, my thoughts, my mind, and my heart. He said, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Are you walking in God's truth? Can you see from your lifestyle, your past lifestyle, that you're where you are because of God? Or you think it's because of your wisdom, because you went to school of theology? Or you think it's because somebody gave you a license in ministry that you're doing it on your own? No, it's God. It's God. You got folk today that have all types of degrees. All types of, you go to the office walls are filled. The office got four walls or three walls, and all the walls are coming down. Because this body gave him, this ministry gave him a plaque, and next ministry gave him a plaque. They got a plaque from this school or that school, and the walls are filled. But they're not living anything according to those plaques on them walls. Nothing. David says, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. See, you ain't going. You got to stay away from them folk that constantly lying, constantly gossiping. You can't get with them 1 minute before they start gossiping about somebody or lying about somebody. They don't open the conversation with, let's pray. Or what has God done for you today? What is God doing for you today? What is God showing you to do for somebody? They don't open the conversation. They start, well, you know what brother so-and-so did. You know what sister so-and-so, they go off just gossiping and lying. Talking about something that they're not sure about. Just something that they heard. David said he will not sit. He will not go in with dissemblers, liars. He said, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. See, we have to be separated. When you know that you know that you know that God is your everything, you have to make up in your mind. We have to make up in our mind that we're going to be separated. There's no if or buts about it. You have to make up in your mind that you're going to be separated. I love you with the love of Christ Jesus, but I'm not going to all you can eat with you. Because I know when I go with you, you're going to start some trouble. You're going to start some fussing, and you're going to mess with my spirit, and I'm not going to be able to enjoy my meal. You have to have this in your mindset. I'm praying for these folks, but I'm not going anywhere with them. I love them to life, but I'm not going anywhere with them. Because I know when I go somewhere with them, they're going to talk with everybody. They're going to cut up everybody. You understand? And I don't want that in my spirit. I don't want that in my spirit. Glory to God. Now here in this verse, he says, I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. David said, look, I am going to purify myself. Hallelujah. I am going to cleanse myself from that stuff that prevented me from being able to come into your presence. Yeah, folk that dibbing and dabbing and stuff and still want to go in God's presence. No repentance. Hallelujah. They don't repent. David says, verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. See, when we get into God's presence, when we spend time in God's presence and with God's people, you want to tell somebody else. You know, when I hear folk come on and share and respond to what God is saying, as to the sermon, I tell somebody, I say, man, you know, man, Brother John came on the line, and man, Brother John was saying some things that really took the sermon up to another place. See, you want to tell because now we are sharpening one another. Like the Bible said, iron sharpen iron. We are sharpening each other. David said, look, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wash my hands in innocency. So will I come past thine altar. I'll be able to come to your altar. Hallelujah, O Lord. That I may publish. I'm going to proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. See, when God do stuff for you, when God is enlightening you in the kingdom to yourself, you can't, it's inside of you. He said the kingdom is within. You can't keep it inside of you. You have to speak it out. You got to proclaim it. Hallelujah. How can God be your everything? You know so much about him, but you don't want to tell anybody. You're the secret agent for God. God don't want no secret agent. He wants ambassadors that's going to go from place to place and tell people. You don't want a secret agent. We fill a word, but we don't want to proclaim. We don't want to proclaim what God is putting inside of us. And we're running over. It's inside of us, bubbling inside our belly. He said, out of your belly should flow rivers of living water, but there's no water coming out because our mouth is closed. We're not telling anybody. We are secret agents. We are undercover agents. God don't need no undercover agents. All his disciples, you see what they did? They went from place to place, breaking bread, praying and breaking bread with one another. They didn't sit and say, well, look, you know, we the master taught us, so we got the word. We are filled with the word, so we're just going to sit here and be silent. We're going to be secret agents. No, he says, David says, he said, look, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house. He loved the people. See, he loved the people, the congregants. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. Hallelujah. See, Block Talk is a good place. Because we know that we got the word here, and we know that we honor God, and we honor God's people. Right here on Block Talk Radio. There's no big eyes or small U's on Block Talk Radio. I had a plan to go somewhere today. From yesterday. But this morning God said no. I am your everything. And the way he said it, he said the Lord is my everything. That's why I had to get it that way. So I said, okay, Lord, and show me some stuff. He said, go into the Psalms. I would say, go into the Psalms. No, he said, David said, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. You don't want to be reckoned with them folks that acting unseemly. Huh? If you were hanging up with them and something go down, do you know you're going to be arrested? You may not have done anything, but you were in bad company. My mama used to say, he said, birds of a feather flock together. I never understand what she was saying till she had crossed over into life with Jesus. And I had come to America. She told me stuff I used to get in trouble. The young man didn't understand what she was telling me. not trouble that I go to got arrested with the police or not, but I always was in trouble with these young people. You know, because I was a little rebel. And then she tell me another one, dogs, lay there with dogs and you get it with fleas. I couldn't understand this stuff. I said, Mom, boy, you tell me all this stuff. But now I know what she said, what she was saying. Hallelujah. I know now because I'm growing in all these things. Now, the clarification of what she was instructing me when I was a little boy, now it's coming clear. That's why I stay. They said, look, well, Pastor, you don't go along. No. I'm good by myself. Me and the Lord, we are majority. If you don't, one old man said, if you're on the highway, you're between a lot of cars. He said, you're subject to get into an accident. But if you're far ahead of everybody or far behind everybody, you got to go lose your focus, you know, and drive into the God wall or drive off the road. But he said, no, you can't get into an accident and hit somebody. You're by yourself. I like that. Because when I'm by myself, I can't get enticed by somebody to go do something that's unseemly. I had to make that choice on my own. He says, David says, and whose hand is mischief? And their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. This is David saying. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregation will I bless the Lord. Listen, look, David said, look, I'm flat-footed. I like this dog. I like this verse 9. He says, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men who would murder. I don't want my soul connected with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I don't want to be those that in their hands, all they have is mischief. They only have plans to do things that are ungodly, unrighteous. So you have to make a plan. Who do you want to walk with? Who do you want to be with? Go to Psalm 27. This is what the Lord showed me this morning. Okay? And then we're going to jump back to Psalm 23. We got a little bit more to give you. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? This is all this is. That's just so fire right there. That's fire right there. That's Holy Ghost fire right there. That one verse there is Holy Ghost fire. You get that right there? You get that one verse inside your spirit, man. Oh, you full right there. You overflowing right there. Your cup overflowing right there with that one verse. Let me give you again. Matter of fact, let me go here and hit you with in the amplifier. Let me hit you in the amplifier with this one. This is good here. Oh Lord. And even in the Locust Bible is even more powerful, but they got too much backdrop on it, so I don't want to go there. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No, no. See, everything that I need, everything that I hope to have is in the Lord. It's right in that verse. Hallelujah. He is my shelter. He is my everything. Glory to God. He said, David said, look. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why did they stumble and fell? Because you're with the Lord. See, you're in the Lord, and the Lord is in you. You have that excellency that dwells on the inside of you, which is the Holy Ghost. He said, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in you. See, you got this thing that's inside of you that is so powerful, so anointed, that when folk come to want to eat you up, want to take control, want to abuse you, they can't. They stumble on their way to hurt you, to abuse you. They stumble and fall. Listen to me. God, the Lord is our everything. Listen to what he says. Jesus, help us. Help us, help us, help us. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall arise against me, in this will I be confident. Job faces stuff like that. in Job chapter 4, verse 6. All type of stuff come out of Job. But he trusted God. The door he slay me, yet will I trust. Yet will I praise him. Yet will I obey him. Yet will I follow him. Job is still honoring God in the midst of all that he's going through, all that he faces. Skin boils all over his body. His friends talking about it, his wife mocking him. Everybody, do you understand what I'm saying? Your confidence, no matter what's going on. See, when you lose confidence in God, everything else falls apart. When you start looking at the weather and say, so bad, oh my God, this body want to hurt me, this body, and you focus on them, but you're not focusing on the real power, the protector, the shield, the buckler, the strong tower. You're not focusing on that. See, when you're focusing on him, the enemy don't have no foothold on you. Because I know, I see the arrows, I see the bows and arrows, I see the spears, I see the swords, the daggers. I saw the bullets coming at me. They're on their way, they're traveling through the atmosphere. But I know my God controlled the atmosphere. He stops every arrow, he stops every spear. Swords cannot cut through what he sets up to protect me, to protect us. So I know this. And that's why our confidence is in him. He is our everything. He's not only just our supplier. He's not just our bank teller. He is our protector. He is our shield. He is our buckler. Because we only want to see him as the one supplying all our needs. According to Philippians 4:13-19. We just see that. That's all we see. But we don't see him as the great defender, the protector, the shield, the buckler. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they say, are you righteous? That means, are you in right standing with God? Not that you're perfect. You're not perfect. But are you in right standing with him? Are you obeying his laws? Are you following his commandments, his statutes? Because if you are, you're in right standing with him. How do you treat your neighbors? How do you treat your other fellow workers in the kingdom? Oh, bless the Lord Jesus. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple, in his temple. Excuse me. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. See, God will put you where you're safe. He'll cover you like a mother chicken cover her chicks under his tabernacle. He'll cover you that nothing, no evil will come near your dwelling. I remember back in the world, and I was trying to do some things that was not connected to God. At that time, I wasn't saved and sanctified. And the young man put out a 9mm on New York Avenue in Washington, D.C., and released 5 shots at me. And the girl that I was with took off in her car, her Nissan 4x4 truck, and leave me, tell the people in Virginia I got shot. But God was my bulletproof vest. Not one of the shots, not one. And it was a close range. He is our perfecter, protector. He's the one that's perfecting us and protecting us. The Bible says he will perfect that which concerneth us. He will keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed on him. This is what God says. Our mind has to be, in much of all that we are going through, we got to still focus on God. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I got to focus on him. The enemies are coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Look at Israel. I heard this morning on the computer that now Hamas is almost eliminated. But now Hezbollah and now Turkey is coming. And some other nation. So it's about 4 people that they fight at one time. But they're not fighting at themselves by themselves. And what I was looking at, I was looking at to see how awesome God is. That the Israelite, Israel looks like a, if you look at it on the map, it looks like a shovel. The shape's just like a shovel. And it's just a little strip of land. But they're saying that Israel has so much, but what the word I want to say, they have so much different types of ammunition and weapons, all types of latest types of weapons, that you couldn't even believe in that small piece of land that they have, that they have all this type of artillery and all these type of weapons. I mean, they got lasers, they got, man, all that, but they got a sonic, supersonic, this and supersonic, that, in a little piece of land that they say that Israel is now one of the world's superpower. In a little piece of land. Because, see, they may not be calling up for, all of them are not calling up for Jesus, because they're still waiting to see the Messiah. But they're calling up to Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shabuah. They're calling up to God, not to Islam, not to Buddhists or Confucius. They're calling up to Jehovah. And Jehovah is still protecting them. You must understand that. And they're going to come to that working place that they know that Jesus is Lord. Because he said so in the word. Hallelujah. And I said, wow. They're fighting four different nations. They're fighting at the same time. They make that thing they call the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome. They shoot all these defensive rockets at the same time. And sometimes one of the rockets might get through to them, but they cut them down, cut down all the rest in the atmosphere. God gave them that idea. And they sold America some of the same stuff. I'm telling you something, man. When you trust God, when we put our trust in him, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You got to trust him with everything that's within inside of us. Everything else that we're looking at, that we're hoping, is telling us that we shouldn't trust God. Why should I trust him when all this stuff is still going on? Why people are still doing this to me, and people are leaving me, and people are not staying with me? Why should I trust him? But then you got to look back. God said, you didn't come in the world with these people. You come in by yourself. I brought you in here by yourself. You weren't a trend. You were not a trend. You came in by yourself. You didn't even come in here with your wife or your husband. You came in by yourself. So you got to trust him, the one that brought you into this world, brought you out of darkness in that little cocoon you were in your mother's womb, and brought you in here and give you life. Trust him. Because you know the truth now. Before you knew the truth, you were trusting in everything, just like the world. But now you know the truth, you got to trust in him. Look what David says, man, I'm telling you. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen. He says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide you in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide you. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Hallelujah. See, God is our protector, but we still crying out. David says, hear, O Lord, when I cry, when I call out with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. I don't want you just to hear me, Lord, but I want you to have mercy and I want you to answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thine servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. See, you understand that we can sometimes we can do some things that will cause God to turn his face away.
But David begged the Lord not to turn his face away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to come to that place and know that we have done some wrong or we've been doing some wrong and ask God not to turn away. Ask God to answer us, to hear us and answer us. Because sometimes we are not worthy to be heard. Sometimes we have slipped and dipped. Your pastor don't know, your bishop don't know, but you have slipped and dipped. And God seen it all, we know it all. But we ought to go back and repent so that when we pray, we intercede for somebody, God will answer and God will deliver. Listen to me. This is not no ordinary sermon. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. See, I don't want to go off track. We don't want to go off track. We want to be on point at all times with God. We want God to lead us. We want him to show us where to go, where to put our feet. We don't want our feet to walk and go someplace else that God don't want it to go. And if we happen to go somewhere, we want God to be in the mix of it. You hear me? David says, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemy. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. They want to hurt him. They want to hurt us. They're like secret agents. They're lying in wait. Hallelujah. They're waiting like a lion waiting for his prayer. Just hunched down in the bushes, waiting for you to slip, not be aware of your surroundings, and they will take you out. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, we know that God is going to come true for us. We know what he said he's going to do, he's going to do, because he said so. He's God. He said this all by himself. Listen, David says, wait on the Lord. He says, let's go back to 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thee, thine heart. Excuse me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't you throw in the towel before the time is right. Wait on the Lord. Go to Philippians. Then we'll come back to the Psalms, the last scripture. Philippians. And put up a couple here. Philippians 4 and 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not some things. See, the Lord is my everything. And because I trust him, I know that I can do what the Lord says I can do. It's got to be according to his will. I can do what he said I can do. 4 and 19 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, everything got to be according to his riches and glory. The Lord will supply your needs. Do you trust him enough? Go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Who is he? Do you know who he is? Hallelujah. When you're not feeling well, who do you go to? I told you he is your healer. Exodus 15 and 26. He says, I said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, and which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you hear that? We got to make sure we don't act like the neighbors. Act like the other fellas over there in the other city, the other country, the other religions. We got to make sure we don't act like them. We're going to obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments. That's what we're going to do. Then we can go to the Lord and ask for healing. Petition the Lord for healing for your brother, for your sister. God says so. That's what he says. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 23. It's the last book I want to put here today. I need the Lord give us something else for tomorrow. The Lord said this here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, when you know this, you can say, well, I'm going through some things right now. But I know the Lord is going to see me through. I'm in need of some things right now, but I know the Lord is going to supply, according to Philippians 4:19. I know he's going to do it for me. Hallelujah, glory to God. I don't feel well today, but I'm going to lay hands on my own head because I don't have a pastor right here. Now I don't have a bishop, a prophet, apostle, or deacon, or elder to lay hands on me and anoint my head. But I'm going to lay my two hands on my head. I'm going to lay my hand on my chest. I'm going to pray for my blood to flow through my heart, to pump the blood from my arteries to my brain, to my lungs, to my kidneys, my bladder, my pancreas, all over my body. I'm going to lay my hands on myself because I know he is. I know he can. I know he hears me when I pray. I know I'm going to ask him for forgiveness. He knows that I don't have it all together. I'm trying each day to get it together, but he knows I don't have it. He is my shepherd. I am his sheep. He's going to take me where I can get clean water, water that's not contaminated. Whatever he gives me is pure because he's pure. Listen what David says. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you hear what he said? Where he puts you is sufficient. There's no lack where he takes you. Can you trust him? Hallelujah. Where he takes you is going to suffice all that you need. It's going to take you all you need. The Bible says in Revelation 7:17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd catches your tears and he put them in a special bottle according to the word of God. He don't mix your tears with somebody's tears. That's how much he cares about your tears. He catches your tears. The Bible says, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, your soul also be so messed up and jacked up. But when we cried out that day that the man or woman of God has prayed for us to receive the gift of salvation, right there at that moment, God restored your soul. All the darkness that was in your soul, that was clogging up your soul like a pipe in your house, in the bathroom, in the tub, in the sink, or the kitchen, that you put too much grease down it, you know, stuff that's not supposed to go down the drain, and all of a sudden you realize that the drain been running a little slow, but all of a sudden it's clogged up. God's coming and use his heavenly rooter machine and root out all that stuff. All that calcium, all that plaque that's inside the arteries of your soul and clean it up, that sin that's been clogging up your soul. Restore your soul and leadeth me into a path of righteousness. He's put you now in right standing. Hallelujah. You're no more clogged up and jacked up in the spirit. You see, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil.
for thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the God that we serve. He's powerful. He's mighty. He is mighty. And he loves his workmanship so much that he don't even leave us or forsake us. You know that in the midst of all that you're going through, that he is still looking over you. Every area of your life God is concerned about. He is concerned about every area of your life. He's a good God. He said that what he said, like we said, Isaiah 43 and 2. Line up with that verse. Thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. They're not going to even smell like smoke, like fire burn you. This is what the good shepherd does to the sheep. He protects us. He shields us. And he cares for us. This is what he says. That yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort thee. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. See, God gives you more than enough. He just don't fill your cup. Because God wants you to be able to give. He wants you to be able to give to the poor, to the needy, to the orphans. Why do you think Apostle Stewart and Pastor George Stewart is so blessed? If you see them in person, you'll know they're blessed people. You don't have to ask a question. You just look at them. You can look at some people, you can see that they're blessed. They don't have to have a Rolex watch on their hand. They don't have to have a big old bunch of chains around their neck like Mr. T or Wonder Woman. But when you look at them, you can see the glory of God all over them. You can see they're blessed. Some people think you've got to have a Lamborghini or Ferrari or Bentley to be blessed. No, but the glory of God. When the glory of God rests upon you, you're blessed. You're supernaturally blessed. You see, I'm not boasting on him. I'm boasting on the God on him. He's my brother. She's my sister. And I love them from the center of my heart. Because they love God people. You know why I say they're blessed? Because they're always blessing God's people. You got, I was telling somebody the other day in the church, I said, look, my brother and my sister over in Louisiana, just as when Apostle Washington Bishop was here. This is so into the people. People are eating in African India because of these people. They're so into the kingdom. Not an apostle life. I mean, they bless me sometimes from time to time. But they're so into God's people. God's people that's really in need, that don't have anything at all. Hallelujah. This is why we are blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's finish this. He said, but I love this. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Verse 5 of the division, 23rd division of Psalms. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. See, that anointed tell you that you were covered. See? Just like the helmet of salvation. That tell you that you were covered. Ain't no devil can touch you. See, that oil could cover your mind. That anointing covers your mind so the enemy can't penetrate your thoughts. You know, thoughts are going all around your head, but they can't come on in because your head is anointed, it's covered. He says, he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over more than enough. He says, surely, oh God, I love this Holy Ghost, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Where are you dwelling? See, I'm fixed. I'm fixed on the things of God. My life is in the house of the God, with the people of God. The preacher said yesterday, I think it's probably sent me that was a powerful sermon. Oh, I would listen to him, and I had to change my sermon this morning. But God changed it because I was going to talk about Satan in coming to church. But the man was preaching yesterday about Satan can't be in the church. And I like what he says because it makes sense. It makes, you know, when you're hearing the word of God and somebody's preaching or teaching the word of God and it lines up with the word of God,
You know, they're calling the word of God, but then what they're saying, what is that person is saying lines up with the word of God, it blesses you. And the man was talking about his older man, and he was saying that Satan can't come into church, can't enter the church. And it makes sense, because he said, you're the church. He said, you're the church, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are the church. But if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not the church. So Satan will penetrate you. He can come in the building, but he can't come in the church. And that makes so much sense. That day blessed me like that. I tell you, yesterday, it blessed me. I had to send it out to other people. Because, you know, this is why you're an ambassador. You're not an ambassador. Hold on to what you get. That's even if it's money, if it's food, you share it. If somebody show me a word that I have not seen, and I got the revelation of it, I'm not going to hold it for myself. I'm going to give it to other people. I sent it to about 50 people. And everybody that sent it to would loved it. I even sent it to India and Africa. Because I wanted the preachers over there to get the revelation of what the word is saying. Because revelation is power. It is power. It is strength. It's authority. When you get revelation of what God's word is saying, man, you get power. The devil can't touch you. So, oh, my God, they got some. The devil said, oh, I can't deal with them. No, they got some understanding, though. They got some understanding of what God is saying. He can't touch you. See, but if you don't get that understanding, you are like a ship without water. You can't go nowhere. Hallelujah. You understand? You're like a bird without feathers. You can't fly. But when you get understanding, you got power. You got authority. You can stand up flat-footed like David did. You can stand flat-footed, and your feet are not going to slip. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We ask, O God, Lord, we know it was not a jumping message, hallelujah message, but we know, God, we thank you because we know that it was a message of growth. Let us know that we can trust you, we can depend on you, we can rely on you, Lord God, for all that you have said that you would do for us, all that you have done, all that you have prepared, Lord God, and you're still preparing for us each day. We can have confidence and know that you will shelter us, you will defend us, that you will fight for us, oh God. Lord, that you would heal us. Oh, Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we ask you to bless this message even the more that it's gone forth over the airwaves, that you allowed us to pull up a few divisions of the Psalms that give us some insight of how much you care for us, how much that you love us, and how much that you're defending us and shielding us against all the fiery darts of the enemy. Let us know that you are the God that heals us, that you are our supplier. Lord, we thank you so much for wisdom and understanding, Lord. And Lord, we thank you even the more for forgiving us and not giving us what we deserve, but you give us what we need. Lord, we thank you for mercy and grace today. And Father, I pray for all those folks that used to be part of this great ministry that are no longer here. And Lord, you know them by their names. Even by the sounding of their voice, you know them. We ask you to protect them, shield them, and deliver them, restore them to their rightful position in you, Lord. We ask, O God, that you defend them in every way that they need to be defended. Lord, heal them in every area of their lives that they need to be healed, O God. We ask you to stand on Mount Calvary for them, O God. We ask, O God, that you protect them against every trick of the enemy. Lord, lead them not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you're out there in computer land today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to read from my notes here, this invitation for salvation. But the first thing you need to do is that you need to repent. So search your own soul today. Mr. Jones, just jump off. Search your own soul today and ask the Lord to forgive you. As the Bible says in Romans 3 and 23 that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It didn't say that some of us. It said that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Bible says that in Romans 6 and 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's saying that if you continue to sin and you don't repent and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will die spiritually, as the Bible talks in the book of Revelation, of a second death. And that second death is a spiritual death. You know, a lot of people say, well, when I die, I die. I only got one life to live, but it's not true. Not according to the book of Revelation. It says you will die a spiritual death, and you will be condemned into the lake of fire and brimstone with the adversary. And that's what the adversary wants. He wants us, you and I, to be in the lake with him and his demons. Because he accustomed to his demons, to his team. He accustomed to them. So they want to have some of God's people with them. They're accustomed to each other. But if you repent and invite Christ into your heart, you will be separated from that place. You know, the Bible says sin is so bad that it's got so bad down that hell is enlarging its mouth. It's opening its mouth wide because it's expecting so many people that rejected Christ Jesus to come go to hell, to be in hell with Satan and his agents. The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, you can't pay yourself into the kingdom. You can't buy yourself into the kingdom of heaven. But you can live your life into there, because Christ paid the price already. But you can live your life into the kingdom of heaven, paradise. That means living according to God's instruction, according to his laws, the obedience, obedient to every word that he says. Just do it, you know. And Christ says, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14 and 6. A lot of people are trying to get in another way. They say, well, if I give the bishop $1 million, I'll be in right good standing with God, because I give $1 million to the bishop. Yeah. The bishop going to do some stuff with it. I don't know if he's going to give to the poor, but he's going to do some stuff. You know, he's going to do some stuff with that $1 million. You know, I watch him on TV. But that's not going to get you into heaven. What's going to get you into heaven is if you repent, turn away from sin, and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 3:17 said, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They said Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to defeat Satan of his hold that he had on you and me. That's all he wants to do. That's all he came to do, defeat Satan on the hold that he had on you and me, on the children of God, and set us free, giving us the access to the tree of life. Hallelujah, glory to God. But Satan had to be defeated first, and Jesus did that at the cross. That's why he could say, it is finished. The work that he came to do is finished at the cross. So now you have to get into that place that you get sorrowful of your sin. The Bible said that godly sorrow leads to repentance. So you want to get to that place where you're truly sorry of the sinful lifestyle that you live, that you lived. He says in John 3:19, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or made clear, that they are wrought in God. See, you notice that people, when you start to preach in the street and you evangelize on the street, that people will come against you and want to fight you. No, they. I see evangelists, men and women in the street preaching the gospel, and people just spit on them. I mean, literally spit on them, and say, "I don't want to hear nothing. Why you over here making that noise, calling out that Jesus name and Jesus this and Jesus that, and spit on the man, spit on the woman, and some kick the preacher. Why? Yeah, the preacher didn't do nothing to him, but it said what happened is when that name Jesus is preached and teach, it disturbs demons, and demons they get very violent. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And the man keeps saying, I love you all with the love of Christ. I love you with the love of Christ. He said, I understand why you're spitting on me, why you're kicking me, because it's not you, it's the devil inside of you. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unto-wrought generation, or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Acts 4, and let's start at verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impudent man, by what means he is made whole? Be it known unto you all that, be it made known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, talking about the leaders. Hallelujah. Which has become the head of the corner. These priests and these Pharisees and these scribes, these people that are coming up against the apostles, they're supposed to know the truth. But they reject the truth. The truth was right before them. And they can see it. You hear people say, hey, even if the truth come in your face, you wouldn't even recognize it. You know, well, this is what happened. They reject the stone. Jesus was the cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is what hold the building together. And then he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. That name is Jesus. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, you may not have a PhD or ME or BA or any doctorate degree, but when you had an encounter with Jesus, it makes all the difference in your life. Hallelujah. Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 16, this is the last scripture. No, I'll read that one before it. Mark 16, we'll do another one. Mark 16, then we have prayer and open the line or close the line. And 16, Mark 16, 15, 16, 17, and 18 says, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick,
and they shall recover. So you got to be baptized. You have to be baptized. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. And Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were right in the midst, in the depths of sin, Christ was on the cross paying the debt that we were incurring, knowing that we couldn't pay it. He paid it all. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take a time to examine yourself and repent. You know where you've been living a sinful lifestyle, the things you've been doing. You don't have to tell him. He already knows, but just tell him that you repent. Say, Lord Jesus, take with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I acknowledge my sin right now because they are always before me. There are too many for me to number, but you know them all. And I bring them today, Lord Jesus, and lay them at the foot of the cross. As your servant was saying, you gave your life at the cross for my life. You paid a debt that I owe that I could not pay. So today, Lord Jesus, I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I come to you just as I am, broken and in sin. I need to be fixed, need to be made whole. Jesus, I believe that you were crucified at Calvary. Hill called the skull of Golgotha. Same name, same place. I believe that you were crucified there, that you died on that cross, that they took you down from the cross and placed you in a borrowed tomb. I also believe in my heart and confessing with my mouth that God the Father raised you up on the third day. You came out of that tomb alive as you said you were. And today I'm confessing you as the one who paid the price for my sins. Now, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and take up your rightful position as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon-coming King in my heart. Come in now, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all my trespasses, all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness because you are faithful and just to do just that for me. I accept you now as Lord, as Savior, and soon coming King. Well, if you said that prayer and you believe, you have just received the gift of salvation. Get a Bible, one of your choice. There's many versions or types of Bible out there you can get from the Christian bookstore. Get one that you're comfortable with and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, or you can start from Genesis. But study the Bible anyway and invite the Holy Spirit to come and instruct you because he's a teacher. He's the greatest teacher. Invite him to help you to understand. And believe it or not, he will open the scriptures before your very eyes. So you will see, you would hear, and you would receive. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you want to be baptized according to the book of Acts that says you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But before you get baptized, we recommend that you call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Invite people because it's a very special day. I could always remember like it was yesterday when I got baptized in Jesus' name. Because when I was in the Caribbean, I was sprinkled. They had this bat, they call it a basin, it's like on a pedestal. You come into the sanctuary, they would have the pedestal right there. The priest came and dipped with a ladle and pour it on my head or sprinkle it, however you want to see it. But I got here when I came to America, and I got into the Apostolic Pentecostal Church, and I got down in the water, Prince George's County, over in Maryland. The bishop, he rests in peace, that ordained me, baptized me in the pool. The pool had a pool, sunken pool in the altar. And I went down there, and I tell you, it was awesome. It was awesome. Glory to God. And my life has never been the same. I'm not saying that my life was perfect, but it never was the same. Because I understood from that day that I was part of the family of God. You understand? So you want to be baptized. And once you get baptized, we like to say that you're going into the liquid grave. And as you go into the liquid grave, you are declaring to those witnesses that are there present that you have given your life to Christ Jesus and that your life no longer belongs to you. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. Now, find a church after you come up out that water. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospels, preaching and teaching the truth. Understand what I'm saying? And get yourself involved. Do something. Ask the pastor to get in the church. You're there for a little while. Ask the pastor to give you something to do. Tell him you want to do something. You want to work for the Lord. You want to do something. Because you don't just want to be a spectator coming and sitting on you, do nothing, and then go back home, come back the next Sunday, Wednesday night, or Thursday night, whatever time they have midweek service, and just get word and do nothing. You want to do something. You know, we don't have enough helpers. Everybody want work. Everybody want word. Everybody want to call the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, the elders. They want to call them up. Can you pray for me for this, pray for that? But they don't want to do no work. Nobody want to do work. This is why the Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. But the people don't want to work. They just want to come to church. Got to go to church. I need to work. I want to get a word. I want to feel good. But they don't want to work. So we thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation. We pray the Lord continue to strengthen you. And anyone out there that if you felt like you were slipping, if you were sliding, because backsliding is not a sudden thing. It's a slow slide. You know, people be backsliding and don't even realize that they're backsliding. They don't come to church. They come when they feel like, and then they don't want to come at all. Then they're away from the church, away not studying the word, not praying. They backslide. So if you feel like you are backsliding, you're in a position of backsliding, now you're not getting enough time to come into church and fellowshiping enough, you can go and rededicate your life and make yourself, get yourself, but strengthen yourself in the things of the Lord. Okay? Just go back there and download the service and listen to prayer of salvation. And repeat after us. God bless you. I love you guys so much. But God loves you more. Thank you so much. Come back tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow. Thursday, if the Lord say the same. And hopefully the prophets will come in on Friday. So we thank God for you all. So the line is open. If anybody wants to share, I'll take a minute to heat up this herb tea. And I'll be back. Okay, pray and close out. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. We know the word is blessed because it's your word. And we ask you, God, to continue to bless us with ears to hear and mouth to speak, O God. We ask you to bless those that came on today, Pastor Stewart and Brother Deacon Fraser. We ask you to bless the Minister Jones and
prophetess. Bless Storm, bless Apostle Stuart and Pastor Joyce. Bless their ministry. Lord, we ask you, God, to do for them what only you can do. And Father, we are careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. You know, as we leave this land, but not your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field, O God. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not the deep, O God. Make us the lender and not the borrower, O God. Oh, Father, we are careful this morning, as always, to give you all the praise and all the glory, because you alone and you alone are worthy of all praise and adoration, O God. We ask you, God, to have your way in this ministry. Continue to empower us to hear and to receive, O God, in Jesus' holy name. Now, as we leave this lane, O God, we ask, God, that you continue to open doors for us as we go into North Carolina next month, God. Pray that you move by your spirit, O God, and that you have your way. God, our mouth is your mouth. Our hands is your hand. Our feet is your feet. We ask you to use us for your glory. O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today into somebody's heart, a gate that will make all the difference in their lives. May it stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. And Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank God for you today. We really do. Have a blessed evening, safe evening, and pay attention to your surroundings. So much stuff is happening out there now. It's scary, very scary. But we bless God for you. We thank God for you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Bye-bye.